I appreciate that. Wednesday night, we'll figure out something else. All right. Romans chapter number 12. Are you there? Amen. Please be there. Stand with me if you would here. I'm going to read these very first two very familiar verses here in Romans chapter 12. We've spoken about them even most recently here. Look in verse number 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you go to verse number 1, the very last few words in verse number 1 says, your reasonable service. That's the title of our message here this evening. Your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that you serve the Lord. Amen? Amen? It's only reasonable. Now that you know Christ is your Savior, it is only reasonable that you serve the Lord. I learned years ago when I was in the Christian school, the particular curriculum that we use in the Christian school. Some of you might be familiar with it. But most generally, in testing, you have to at least get an 80% in order to pass, right? Most of your testing, no matter where it's at, hey, you need to get an 80% before you can move on. That's just reasonable. In our Christian lives, 80% of what we should be doing for God, that's your reasonable service. I think we could probably at least pray about doing even more than that. Amen. But 80% being reasonable, the reasonable expectation, I believe that we can do even more than that. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get into this. Dear Heavenly Father, I do ask you to be with us this evening. Lord, we love you. I thank you for the Bible again. Oh, Lord, what would we do without this book? Lord, what would we do without the words that you've given to us so that we can clearly, Lord, unashamedly proclaim, thus saith the Lord. And I ask you that you'd be with us this evening, Lord, as we look at our reasonable service to you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated. I'm going to have you go back to chapter number 11. Now, the reason being is because in verse number 1 of chapter 12, it says, I beseech ye therefore. In other words, he is calling our attention back to something else that had just previously been stated. And now we're not going to go all the way back through the book of Romans. Understand, the book of Romans is a book that was written to a Gentile nation, to the church in Rome. And that Gentile nation needed to have some help. That Gentile nation needed to have some encouragement. That Gentile church, that church that would be used to spread throughout that area. And of course, help us in our ability to lead someone to the Lord. The Romans Road is probably the most familiar way to lead someone to Christ. Oftentimes, I'll use other verses, but almost always I'll head straight for those verses out of Romans that deal with the heart of man as far as our sin and the penalty, but yet the sacrifice that was given. But in chapter number 11, I want to read. There's no way we can take time to read all of them. In fact, we're going to go back up into chapter number 10 just a little bit. In verses 20 and 21 of chapter 10, we read here, it says, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Now, this is found in Isaiah 65. And in Isaiah 65, it's talking about those Gentiles who weren't asking about the Lord. They weren't seeking the Lord. But yet, God said, I'm going to go unto them. So again, we read there in verse number 20, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. And was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, I understand we're not the children of Israel. But understand with me that once we were saved, we were put into the children of Israel. We are now the sons of God. Amen? To as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Ladies, don't get all squeamish about it. Don't get all worried about it, that you're called a son of God, because us men are the bride of Christ too, all right? So it's fair across the board, amen? We're all good with it. But we understand here that even though God, in verse number 21, said, all day long I've stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people, he is speaking out of the book of Isaiah to the children of Israel. But now we're in Romans, and as Paul is writing here in the book of Romans to to this church, this Gentile church, we immediately become wrapped in it and begin to realize this is speaking to me. And I need to be very careful as to putting forth my hand. And even though God is stretching forth, I don't want to be disobedient and a gainsaying individual. It spills over into chapter number 11, verse number 1. If then... I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, we're getting somewhere. We're getting back over to our reasonable service. What is expected of us, just kind of that bare minimum, bottom shelf. This is what, when I was in the computer world, I had a manager that she would say, let's attack the low-hanging fruit first. Those things that are easy pickings before we go on to the more complicated things, let's take care of that which is simple. That's our Christian life. Our reasonable service is that low-hanging fruit. Those things that we know that we're supposed to do. Oh, there are going to be difficult things for us to get our mind around, for us to get our heart around. Those meaty areas of life that are hard to chew, they're hard to digest. Again, especially for the youngster in Christ. They're difficult to really think, does that apply to me? Well, of course it applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to each and every one of us. But God says, all right, we're getting somewhere to the reasonable service. And he is saying here that there are 7,000 that have been reserved, and there is this remnant according to the election of grace. Drop down, if you will, to verse number 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now, this isn't part of the message, but those are important words. Paul never says, I magnify myself. But Paul does say, I magnify mine office. As a preacher and as a pastor, he understood the gift, as we read over in Ephesians this morning. He understood the fact that there are some that are given as the gifts to the church, and part of that are the pastors and teachers. And Paul didn't say, look at me, I'm going to magnify myself. But Paul did say, I magnify mine office. We go on in verse number 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off. Now this is really, really where it gets interesting. If some of the branches were broken off, and thou... Now, he's speaking to the Gentiles. He is talking about, Anthony, thank you for coming to church tonight. I appreciate that. And everyone's going to look back at him, and I've invited him so many times. Anthony, I appreciate that. Listen, as the Bible is talking here, the branches that were broken off, those are the children of Israel. Those were God's chosen, but yet they wouldn't follow. They stiff-armed God. They were a disobedient and a gainsaying people. And again in verse 17, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. You have no reason to boast. You're not the one that gives nourishment to the root. The root gives nourishment to you. You have nothing to brag about. You have no nourishment that comes from yourself. You have only the nourishment that the root provides. And of course, that root, that is the vine, that is Jesus Christ. Verse number 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, in other words, good. I love Conrad and Sebastian. They're not here this evening. You ever go up to them and say, hey, how are you doing? Well. They always answer, well. Because grammatically, that's the correct answer. You say good, that's an incorrect grammatical answer. No, we almost always, I'm doing good. No, I'm doing well. But here we see it in practice. Amen. They're biblical already. Thou, verse 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, good, great, awesome. I always answer, man, if I were doing any better, I'd be twins. Someone says, how you doing? I can't even pick up my own glasses. I'm doing great. If I were doing any better, they'd have to chop me up and sell my pieces. Amen? That's how good I'm doing. Well, hey, this is a great thing then. If I've been grafted in, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Oh, Gentile nations, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Amen. Oh, but if we as a nation, as we have watched over the years and the decades and the generations, and we have fewer and fewer. Hey, listen up, children. Young people, listen to me. Please listen to me. Listen, one day we're all going to be dead. Us adults, we're going to be, unless the Lord returns. We're all going to be in the ground. You're going to come to each one of our funerals probably. And then there's going to be a day when your mama and your daddy and you're the leadership. Now what are you going to do? Children, what are you going to do? Young people, what decision are you going to make? Because we see here, as it says there in verse number 21, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Oh, we've seen a lot of generations that have gone through our country that have decided that old-fashioned religion, that's not for me. That old-fashioned Bible, that's not for me. I want to go and do my own thing. Oh, children, can I beg you? Can I plead with you? Would you continue down the old-fashioned path that the Bible has set for us? Because this is the right way. I may not know a whole lot, and I can tell you this, I don't. But I do know one thing. You cannot improve on God's way. You can try it your way all day long. You can try it your way all of your teenage years. You can try it your way all of your 20s and all of your 30s. But I pray that one day you'll come to realization that I cannot outdo God. I can't do better than that. And if I don't do it God's way, I'm going to fail. But if I do it God's way, God will not let me fail. Amen. Oh, we better be careful lest we be broken off. Go down to verse number 33. We'll read the last several verses here. Actually, go back up to verse number 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Boy, there, I thank the Lord I can't lose my salvation. I mean that. That's one of the first things that jumps off the page when I read verse number 29. It will never be changed. God's not going to repent and say, I'm sorry that I saved that poor guy. I'm going to take it away from him. For, verse 30, as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their, the Jews, unbelief. That's how we gained access. Because the Jews said, no, we don't want the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. We reject him. Crucify him. And so because of that, boy, praise God, his attention turned to me. Verse number 31, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they may also, or they may, let me read that again, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. To me, and I may be wrong, but verse number 31, where it says, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. He's already talked about the children of Israel. They denied him. Because of that, I obtained mercy. Now, the other Gentiles, the other lost, Because oftentimes in Scripture, when we read about the Gentiles, it's talking about those who don't know Christ as their Savior, those who are lost in their sin. And now, those who are still lost because of the testimony that I can give to them, because of the mercy that I have obtained when I didn't deserve it, because the Jews shunned him, I obtained mercy through their unbelief. And now, because of my testimony, as again it says in verse number 31, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, you see, God doesn't want to send anyone to hell. You'll never convince me that God says, well, you know what, you're going to heaven, but I'm sorry, there's no chance for you, there's no hope for you, I didn't die for you, my grace is limited, a limited atonement. Nope, that's not biblical. God said, for all, that mercy might come upon all. Verse 33, oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. We'll never understand all that God is. For who hath known the mind of our Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech ye therefore. That's why I'm begging you. That's why I'm beseeching you. What God has done for me, a man that should never have tasted of the heavenly gift, what God has done for me, because of that, I beg you, would you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable 80% bare minimum, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, that you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I got things messed up there. I'm sorry. I should have read it rather than tried to quote it. I got it all discombobulated. Therefore, back into verse number chapter 10 and all through chapter 11. That's why Paul is trying to call their attention. I'm begging you. When you read, I beseech you, that would be like me saying, folks, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you. Please would you listen. Please would you heed the word of God. Please would you listen to the word of the preacher. Please would you listen to the word of the Lord. I'm begging you, would you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We go back into Genesis 22, 24, I can't remember, I believe it's chapter 22, when Abraham is taking Isaac up onto the hillside, and he's going to sacrifice him, his only son. I got the names right, correct? All right, good. Me and names, you know. And, of course, God provided Himself a lamb. He Himself became the lamb. When Isaac said, Dad, I see the wood, I see the fire, I see the altar, but where is the lamb? And he said, well, God will provide Himself a lamb. And of course He did. Boy, praise the Lord for that. Amen. But when God had asked him to put Isaac there on the altar, and he was just about ready to take that knife and plunge it into the chest of his own son, but He stopped him. You see, God's not asking that of us. God's not asking me to offer my physical life. Oh, so that I can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The Lord wants me to commit suicide? No, absolutely not. Nothing, not even close. He's saying, I expect your body to be holy before me. I expect everything about you. You see, don't ever get upset when someone says we should look like a child of God. We should look like we believe in Jesus Christ. We should look like a good example of a modest individual. We should look like a good example of what God has set forth for His children. I shouldn't look like a rebel. I shouldn't look like someone that just stepped out of the newest magazine and have all the newest fancy fashion on and everything that the world looks their attention to. I don't care whether you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter to me. I believe all of us should be a good representation with our bodies about what God should want, what He expects of His children. It is our reasonable service. But there are things that I want to speak about as far as service goes. I'm going to be done within 15 minutes. I'll promise you that. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. We serve because of God's grace. We read verses 1 and 2. Look at verse number 3.
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. As it began there, through the grace given me. It's still talking about our service, our reasonable service. It's supposed to be unconformed to the world. It is supposed to be transformed to Christ by the renewing of our mind and proving that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But what is my reasonable service? Well, my reasonable service begins with service because of God's grace. I serve because of the grace of God. There is no other reason. Now, I'm saved because of the grace of God. There is no other reason. But because I'm saved by God's grace, and as we've been reminded time and time again, God's grace did not stop for me the day that I got saved. I still need God's grace. And I serve because of His grace. Oh, I would pray that our church would make the decision that every individual, and I know I joked about this here just a moment ago, who would help in this area, or who would raise their hand and do a booth. Listen, I would be asking all of our church body, would we be willing to serve God? Serve Him how? It doesn't matter how. If building a booth of cans to knock down for a junior church carnival that might bring up to bring some more children in on the bus, that might be an exciting thing, and have a Sunday school class grow in attendance. Praise God, I'm all about that. I'm excited to do that. Amen. I want to serve. I want to serve, and I serve because of grace. Oh, would you decide to serve? Would you decide I'll find some area? Preacher, you talk about that all the time. Yes, I do. Because I believe that it's biblical. I believe that it is behoovent upon every child of God to find a place of service. And it may not be the spotlight. It may not be holding the Bible before a Sunday school class, or teaching in the junior church, or singing in the choir, or this or that. But everyone can find an area. You can't tell me. You can't tell me that there's no area that you can't serve. They're all full. Well, ask someone who's mowing the lawn now, can I take that? Please, can I take that? Oh, nobody's jumping up and down to do that. Right. Find an area of service. Why? Because of God's grace. Through the grace given unto me. The second, we serve in different ways. Look at verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Oh, we serve in different ways. We're not all going to be able to hold all of the same areas of service in a local New Testament church. You say, well, but I really believe that this is an area that God wants me to serve, but there doesn't seem to be any available spaces. Then pray about starting another area of ministry and creating another space. Some years back, I had a family that they're not here. They've moved. They were here with us, and the husband and wife came to me and said, "Pastor, have you ever thought about a junior church?" I'm like, "Man, I've thought about a junior church for a long time." This was several years ago. I had been here, I don't know, three or four years, I guess. We had no junior church. We had no, you know, we didn't have any place for the young people to go on a Sunday morning. They said, "Well, we would like to start a junior church." Silent scream, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wonderful. And you know what's great about it is they said, "All right, help us with the skeleton. What is your vision of this, Pastor?" And so we sat down and we talked about this and that, and they said, "Great." And they took it And they ran and they completed it. And when they had to leave, it was passed off. You know, I will say this. I thank the Lord. Brother Clark, you and your wife, and she's in the nursery. The area of junior church, I don't even think about it, to be honest. It's off of my plate. I dismiss the 12-year-olds and down. I know that they're going to be safe. I know they're going to be taught the Bible. I know they're going to have fun back there. I don't have to go back there and inspect it, what's going on. I thank the Lord for that. And I know I'm going to get myself in trouble when I start naming names. And maybe you say, well, I have an area of service and you didn't name my name. And I'm sorry. That's the one, because I'm already talking about junior church. But here's the thing. Taking the area and running the race.
Yes.
And not saying, okay, well, I got it from point A to point B and now it's yours. No, saying, I've got it. Here are the parameters. I'll go. Check back. Parameters still the same. Great. I'll go. Check back. Hey, listen, we're considering about changing some of these parameters. You fine with that? Good. Oh, not these. Okay, we won't change those. And we go. Man, praise the Lord. Those are good. Now, I'm not saying that I have no idea what's going on back there in the junior church. Don't get me wrong. I want to make sure that it's being run right. I want to make sure that it's being taught right out of the right Bible. Amen. Man, if I ever catch wind of a Sunday school teacher or a junior church preacher or something like that, well, we had a little bit of a lesson out of an NIV this evening. No, we're not doing that, right? But I thank the Lord that it's an area. There are other areas that I've asked individuals. And I've said, listen, will you just take this? We'll just run with it. Here the other day, I was walking around the property, and I don't remember where I was at, and there were weeds. I think it was over here in the parking lot. The weeds were growing up in the gravel in that parking lot. And I thought about this, and I went to Brother Billy. I said, Brother Billy, listen, would you be willing to just kill these weeds? Just get the spray, whatever we need to get it back there, and would you just take that? And I thank God. I don't have to worry about it. I walk around now, I see dead weeds. Praise the Lord. I like dead weeds, man. That's great. There are some that are growing back here. And at one point, they were kind of wild. He got on those and he got them sprayed. Now I walk by and they're shriveled up and nothing but, the dead remnants of the vine. And I thank God. What? He just took it and complete. And again, I'm not here to try to build anyone up. I'm trying to say we serve in different ways. There are some areas where everyone's going to see. There are other areas where no one is going to see. Very few have ever watched the things that happen around our church property. Very few ever watch the grass being mowed, the hedges being cut, the weeds being killed. Very few ever watch the nursery that has been staffed and manned and taken care of, and the toys that are kept clean and sprayed after every service. Maybe the ladies know, but most of the guys would have. You put those guys in there, we'd have, I don't know what we'd have, to be honest, man, I'd be scared. What's this cleaning stuff? Your breath smells. I don't know what they might do. I thank the Lord, honestly, I thank the Lord for a nursery, I mean that. Hey, because it is well staffed, it is well maintained, it is taken care of, and I'm not, I know that there's stuff going on back there that I don't want to know about. I know that. I know. But I praise the Lord for those who they say, I'm going to serve. It's not going to be in a way that maybe anyone sees, but I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm running short on time. Number three, we serve in love. We serve in love. Look at verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. That word dissimulation means deceit. Don't be deceitful in your love. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. We can read all the way down, but I'm going to just jump all the way down to verse number 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Remember this morning I said that no man would write that if I've got an enemy, I should feed him, I should give him to drink, I should close. Oh, well, yeah, but the Bible says that's my revenge. No, I'm just being obedient to what God said. God will take care of the revenge. Amen? God will take care of pricking the heart of my enemy. if I'm just obedient to what Scripture says. But we serve in love. Now, we serve because of God's grace. And we certainly serve in different ways. But we serve in love. We do it because we love the Lord. Of those that I have spoken about, not a one of them, in fact, probably every one of them, like, don't mention my name. They just serve in love. This morning I said to someone, thank you for such and such. And that person said, I've told you before, Pastor, you don't need to thank me. I said, I know, but I've told you before, I'm going to. I know that you're not doing this for the thanks. But I thank you so much for doing it. Areas of service that probably nobody ever sees, or if you see it, you don't really give it any thought. You don't really stop and think about what it is that's going on. Brother Pernod isn't here, and I'm glad probably because he's consistently, he'll be doing something, I'll say, Brother, thank you. He says, don't thank me, thank the Lord. I've gotten to the point, I was like, Brother, I appreciate what you're doing. He goes, I appreciate you too. I don't know if you drink coffee or not, but you probably don't ever make the coffee. It's always made. I don't know if you drink coffee or not, if you eat snacks or not. But if you do, you probably don't spend any time over there cleaning up the kitchen, cleaning up the area of... Why? Because Brother Renee just takes care of it and does it, and Miss Marsha, when she's here with him. That's just an area that they take, and they make sure it's ready, and they make sure it's cleaned up, everything's washed, everything's ready for the next time, the next service. Oh, why? Certainly not so that they can gain the attention of anyone in this church. And they're no different. They're no different than the majority. But I'm reminding us, preventative maintenance goes a long ways. Amen? Preventative maintenance goes a long ways. We serve in love. And number four, we serve to overcome evil. Go to chapter number 12. Look at verse number 21, the very last. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We serve to overcome evil. You say, I've never really thought of it like that. I've always served because it was an area that needed to be filled. And that's true. I make the coffee because someone needs to make the coffee. True. I mow the lawn because someone needs to mow the lawn. True. I play the piano because someone needs to play the piano. True. By the way, man, praise the Lord, Miss Ann. We had a piano player before, and they moved on. I came to Miss Ann one day. I said, Miss Ann, I need you to play the piano every service. I need you to play the piano. She's like, all right, Pastor. Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By the way, caveat, off to the side, children, learn how to play the piano. Learn how to play the piano. If there's something that we're lacking in our society, it's children who are willing to learn how to be a musician. And I'm not talking, that's no musician. I was someplace here the other day, and I was listening to something, and I heard, and if I said the guy's name, you would know him. I don't even know who he is, but you would know him. And some singer, and he was singing, and I'm thinking to myself, he was real popular when I was in high school, all right? That tells you a little bit about, his name is Billy something or other. Anyway, I can't believe I said that. And he's singing this dumb song. I don't even know what the song was. And I'm thinking to myself, he was popular. And I guess maybe still is, at least on the old golden oldies. I'm thinking, there's not even a tune in this song. Well, I was running down the road and I was talking about... Like, are you... Well, we went to the grocery store and we got some bread and we had some butter. There's not even a tune there. I mean, there's not even a rhythm. He's telling a story. Someone in the background going, I don't know. Learn some music. Oh, children, learn some music that you would be able to say, hey, listen, that's a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord. I'm going, hey, mom, dad, you want to see your parents faint? Say, mom, dad, can I take piano lessons? But then you want to see them faint, actually practice. Yeah, amen. All right, we'll move on. We serve to overcome evil. I'm finished. Listen, when you serve the Lord, I don't care how small it is. I don't care how minute it is. I don't care how low down on the totem pole you think it is. We serve to overcome evil. You're overcoming evil in your life. You start wherever. I don't care what it is. I had no aspiration to pastor a church. I had no aspiration to be a preacher. I just wanted to serve the Lord. I've said it before. I started wherever. What can I do? What hole can I fill? I'll fill that hole. Nobody else wants to do it. Man, I'll do it. Why? Because it's my reasonable service. Let's find an area. Let's not be a church. Look up here. Let's not be a church. Let's not be the typical church. The typical church is a 90-10 church. Have you ever heard of it? A 90-10 church? 80-20 at best. We'll go with 80-20. An 80-20 church. 80% of the work is accomplished by 20% of the people. 80% of the tithing is accomplished by 20% of the people. Let's not be an 80-20 church.
Amen.
Let's decide to be different than that. Let's decide, you know what? I want to be in. I want my reasonable service to be involved. Why? I want to fight evil. We can do that together.
Amen.
Let's all be involved in every aspect. I don't care what it is, whether it's a junior church carnival, whether it's a cleanup day, whether it's we're going to be having a work day coming up, a missions conference is coming up. Every part, let's be involved. Let's serve the Lord together. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with us this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we've had. Lord, I thank you for the Bible that we get to preach. Dear God, I pray that you would help us to be involved. Our reasonable service, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Your heads are